All right, hey, I want to speak about something today that it's one of those things that everybody has experienced and maybe experiencing it today, but it's one of those things that kind of becomes silent. You really don't talk about it a lot. You don't share it with an awful lot of people. And that's when you feel that horrible, awful gap in your relationship with God. You feel so distant from God. And you don't exactly know what causes it, but it's there. And there's this huge chasm. Sometimes you think of it as maybe a big valley between you, or maybe you're just so far off in the distance. Sometimes we measure that, you know, vertically, but also very horizontally. We just look up and we wonder, God, where are you? Or maybe we're looking distance-wise and just hoping that he's right around the next corner. And that may be the way we describe it, but really what's more important is the way we feel. We're just sensing this thing. Have you ever felt that feeling? Sure, we all have. It feels like he's a million miles away. You can't see him. You can't feel him in your life. You don't hear his voice. But we all know the symptoms, don't we? And I want to share some of those with you. But first of all, let me take you to Psalm, the 10th chapter. Psalm number 10. David is a wonderful man who gives us an awful lot of permission to just be honest. Have you ever noticed that in the words that David has, especially in the Psalms? He just gets real honest. I've always had a difficult time, and I know that it's okay. I know that you're not in the area of blasphemy and heresy when you do this, but it's okay to tell God how you feel. But boy, David would kind of put some steroids to his emotions, you know, when he would tell God how he felt. He would really get after it, and I just can't do that. But at the same time, I understand that it's okay to even tell God you're angry. It's okay to tell God how you feel. And in Psalm, the 10th chapter, this is what David said. He said, "Why do you stand afar off, O God? Why do you hide in times of trouble?" Now, we know that that's a misconception, but let's just start there. This is the way he feels. It's whether it's the truth or not, it's a different story. I have told people forever, it seems like, and tried to tell myself forever, there's a big difference between facts and feelings. Sometimes the fact isn't that God is distant. Sometimes the fact isn't that God can't be found. Sometimes the fact isn't that you're not able to hear his voice. The fact is that's the way it feels. So today we're dealing on things on a couple different levels, aren't we? That may be the spiritual circumstance, because if we're in sin, if we're not living the way God wants us to live, if we're doing things that are just wrong, illegal, immoral, you know, we've compromised our character, then we know why God is not kind of right there with us. We have pushed him away. But there's other times that we just have this feeling and we want it back, because there's nothing like knowing that God is right there with you. I prayed for people several times, and I've said several times, you know what? We can handle anything as long as we know that God's in the picture. Seriously, if it's a hospital, surgery, even death, I can handle this as long as I know that God's there. But when I feel like God's not there, and I begin to question me. But we know some of the symptoms, don't we? And I want to share those with you today, because sometimes we're just absolutely void of the causes. We have no idea what causes this, and we don't know how to make it go away. We don't know how to cure it, but this is how it feels sometimes. First of all, it's that feeling of distance. I know that in the world that we live in right now, I mean, we have everything. It's just amazing. I remember when my son was traveling through, you know, the Middle East, you know, which I'm glad he's not there now. But when he was traveling through the Middle East, we would get on Skype. And Skype is this program you get on your computer, and in real time, you're talking to him. You see his picture in the screen and everything, and it's just a really cool thing. We live in a world with just our phones. You can communicate with somebody. We have instant information. Back in World War II, they had to have the newsreels, and many of you will remember these, and some of you just need to find out about it just now. Before they would go to movies in the evening, they would show a news reel, a black and white reel, and it was an update on the war. It would give some news and some communication of things that probably happened weeks, if not months, before. So the information was good. They're slow, and it wasn't timely. And sometimes that's the way it feels like that too. But this feeling of distance, in Psalms 13, this is what David says. Again, being very honest, he says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me?" You ever felt that way? Like God's just not showing up. He is on vacation today. We call out, we cry out, and if nothing else, we just expect God to be God, because God just shows up. God just does his thing, but yet we can't find him. So we automatically tend to turn this into somebody's against me. I've got an enemy, and God won't rescue me, so I'm in this thing all alone. And it's easy to get to that point. That's one of the symptoms that we have, this horrible feeling of distance between us and God. The second one would be this, is when we go through the motions of praise and worship, but there's nothing happening. Now, praise and worship in most churches will be relegated to what we did up here today. There's music playing, there's people singing, and we're flipping slides in the back. That's what a lot of people call praise and worship. And it is a portion of that. But I'm talking about when you're even by yourself, when you just want to worship the Lord. And I hope that many of you have a very strong discipline and you have a habit of doing that. But it's those times when you just close your eyes and it doesn't matter what you do with your hands, it doesn't matter what you do with your thoughts, you just can't rally the troops and feel or heal or sense God in any way whatsoever. You begin to say the words, and maybe today you were singing during part of some of this, and you notice that other people were really enjoying themselves. Other people were maybe lifting their hands, but maybe your hands were raised too, and maybe you were singing the words just as loud as anybody else, but nothing was churning on the inside. That's another symptom that we have of this huge distance from God. Another one is simply when we feel like our prayers are just floating up into the vast expanse of space, but they're never taking root or reaching God's ears. You've had those times, haven't you? I mean, those times when you feel like you're praying in a box and you're echoing and your words are just going all over the place. They're bouncing off the wall, the ceiling, and the floor, but they're certainly not going anywhere. You don't feel like there's a connect because somehow you just don't feel like you really made that connection with God. I mean, you've ever had an electrical appliance and you've plugged it in, but it won't turn on. You're going, something's wrong here. And that's what our prayers feel like at that time. And it's just another horrible feeling. You just feel like God is so distant. Because after all, we are praying. And whether the prayer is very urgent, whether it's immediate, whether it's an emergency, whether it's because we really want God to do something in our life, but you just don't feel like it's making connection. That's another feeling of that distance. And you wonder why. And you try to make it go away. Another one is when you don't hear His voice. When God's small, still voice, as the Old Testament says, is just still. You know, I got to tell you, most of us, we live in an age where you don't have a whole lot of answer machines anymore. You know, we all have our phones and stuff. And, and you'll leave a message, because really most of the time if somebody doesn't pick up, that's what you're anticipating, isn't it? Or you'll text them. But what really drives you crazy is when you don't get a response. Or what really drives you crazy is when you hear the phone pick up, but then that call is broken off or it's dropped, and you just hear nothing but air. And that's where we say, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? And I know you chuckle about that because they've even tried to make a commercial successful over that one statement alone. But that's what we're saying. God, can you hear me now? The problem is we can't hear Him either. He doesn't seem to be talking anymore, and everything has come to a complete halt. Listen, I know we indeed feel distance from God, but here's the deal. We need to start closing the gap. It doesn't matter if it's a feeling. Doesn't matter if it's a reality. Doesn't matter if it's something we're just thinking about. Doesn't matter if it's real or not. We need to close that gap, and it's real important. Because the longer you stay disconnected, the longer you will drift further and further in a disconnect. If you've ever had a good friend that says, hey, I'll be there, and the longer you wait and they're not there, the longer you begin to start questioning their friendship, right? I don't know why I'm looking at my wrist. I don't wear a watch. But you do that. You start running your head. And why is that true? Because this is what reality is. My friend said he'd be here at 6, and it's 6:15. It's 6:20. It's 6:25. It's 6:30. And you start thinking about things that you want to do to your friend. And we start doing the same thing with God because it's just human nature. But let me clarify. We need to close this gap. Most people will attack a distant circumstance and feeling with God by trying to bridge the gap. If we can only just bridge this thing, we feel like it's almost like two islands, and there's this massive water in between. And if we could just build a bridge between the two, then that'll be it. Because now there's communication again, right? I can go over there, he can come over here. But that's not what God wants. God wants us to eliminate that gap and put these things together. He wants us to be absolutely as one. You see, one is an elimination. The other is connection. And it's great to be connected with God, but it's not the best. What God wants to do is eliminate all of the things in between there that cause you to possibly feel distant again. So that's what we want to do. We don't want to just bridge the gap. We want to close the gap, all right? That's the goal that we want. Listen, yesterday I ran a half marathon. No, please don't clap because nobody clapped there either, all right? It started 6:30 in the morning. I got up at 5:30, just to get ready for this thing. It was stinking freezing cold, and I was trying to figure out how many layers to put on, and I had this hat on and all this other stuff, and it was just nuts. See, today they're running the Route 66 marathon downtown, and thousands of people are there. I promise, tens of nobody showed up for the one that I ran yesterday. And it was just something that there's people that are stupid enough to not only run the marathon today, but ran a marathon yesterday. So they offered a full marathon and a half marathon. They asked me, said, "Are you running the half or the full?" I said, "I am attempting the half." I said, "I'm not sure I'm running anything." I said, "I'm just going to start with this one." But the reason I brought that up is I know a little bit about long distances. I know a little bit about that from experiences yesterday, and I've run a couple of these things. I got two marathons under my belt, and that was over 10 years ago. I'm not ever doing it again. And you know what I tell people? I said, "I'm a pastor, and most of those are on Sunday, and I just can't go. I'm sorry. I just can't do it." I go, praise God for all the excuses church gave me. See, sometimes church is a good excuse, isn't it? But here's the things I want to share with you about that, all right? A few things about running long distance. If you don't sign up, you're not going to show up. If you don't sign up. I didn't decide yesterday at 5:30 when I had eye boogers about the size of diamonds hanging out of my eyes. And I, you think that's bad? Have you ever woke up with your snot dried to your pillow? Here, I'll wake you up in a hurry. If you're waiting for some shock comment, there you go. All right. Does your spouse drool? Never mind. Okay. All right. Let's forget all that. Sorry. Let me get you back to the half marathon. All right. Hey, I signed up for this thing well over 2 weeks ago, and I knew that if I did that, then I would probably show up yesterday because I paid money to be a part of this thing, all right? I know, call me stupid all you want. That's fine. I don't care. This isn't about you need to agree that it was a good idea, all right? I'm just telling you, I signed up way back then because I knew that I would show up yesterday. You know what? A lot of us never sign up. So we feel this distance because we don't ever make plans to close the gap. We don't ever make plans for this to be any different in our life. Shame on you, but the reason that you feel distant from God is because you have planned it that way. You didn't plan for the feeling, but you have planned for that feeling to continue because you're not signing up to do anything about it. And you need to jump on board and decide, this is the end of this thing. I am going to bring this thing to a screeching halt because I'm sick and tired of feeling this distance from God. The second thing is, if you never start, you won't finish. It doesn't matter how much you sign up. Look, here's the deal. A lot of you in church today, this is what you do. This is your Sunday morning routine. This is where I expected you to be today. You've showed up at church. So what? If you don't start, you're not going to finish. God brought you here today regardless of how much you like me, or regardless of how like you like the aesthetics, or regardless of how much you like the music, or my preaching, or anything else. God brought you to this point, and hopefully you were a part of that process, and now it's up to you to decide to start the process of whatever God wants you to do today. Too often we wait for other things to try and make us feel like that gap is being closed, and it's our responsibility. If you don't start, you won't finish. And let me tell you, your biggest battle or your biggest obstacle in running any race, doesn't matter how long it is. It can be a 5K or it can be a long one like yesterday. But here's the bottom line. The biggest thing you're going to battle and have to confront is comfort. Because I got to tell you, at 5:30 in the morning, I didn't feel like getting out of bed. At 6:30 in the morning, I didn't feel like starting to run. If it was cold, blah, 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 all this other stuff. But you know what? Comfort. A lot of us will be more comfortable and have decided I can put up with the distance that I feel instead of going through the discomfort of getting out of that rut and getting out of that routine and doing something about it to close the gap between me and God so that we can be together again. You've decided to live with it. And it's not that you have to. Listen, Laverne Webb was hit in the behind. He didn't ask for that. But you know what? I guarantee you he didn't ask to stay that way either. And he may not have made all the choices. And there are a lot of people that have had to do some really tough stuff. I've been over there and see some of the rehab he's gone through. It is a tough deal. And he has to get up every day and decide whether he wants to walk completely again. All of these things. Laverne, forgive me for picking on you, but I just know that to be true. He didn't ask for the accident, but he's going to do something about the results of it. And that's the way we are with God, man. If we don't get after it, and you know what? You know who comfort's best friend is? His twin, if you will, is pride. There'll be a lot of you today that you will find yourself continuing to be distant from God because your pride will not let you take the necessary steps to close the gap. I've done this several times. I've invited people to join me on some of these runs. I said, hey, I'll pay your registration. I tell you what, I know exactly where the sign-up sheets are. I'll get them for you. I do all the legwork, and they're going to continue to let me do the legwork because they ain't showing up. And you know what? They go, oh, I'd never make it or whatever. I understand that. I understand you're not. This isn't about comparing to me or anything else because there's a lot of people, I can't hold a candle to what they're doing. But you know what? It's not about how great you look. It's about how bad you want it. You see, most of us want to show up in church. We want to show up otherwise just looking like incredible spiritual giants. And we won't even start. We won't even bite off something spiritual unless we have had the chance to warm up and get our gear together and get our act together and rescue our character or integrity or whatever. We're waiting way too long, and there's a whole lot of things that we could be doing right then because we just don't think that we're in shape. But I got to tell you what, God could care less about your shape. God just wants you to be in the race. He just wants you to be a part of that. I tell you, there were some people there yesterday. I looked at them and said, why are you here? I got to tell you, and it was just crazy. But the cool thing is that they were out there and they were doing it. So quit looking at yourself and just ask God what he wants us to do, okay? Let me tell you something else. The finish line is a fixed place. In any race, I've never had a place where the finish line came to me. Then they moved it closer. Now, I have really thought that many times they moved it further. I felt that a lot of times. Now, see, I even know that's a lie, too. They don't take the finish line and say, oh, here he comes, let's move it. They don't do that. However, yesterday, I got to tell you, this race, it started this one place. You had to go down a mile, turn around at this intersection, come back through the start and finish line, which I knew that was only 2 miles. I have 11 more to go, so it's no big deal. So I go all the way up and everything. I turn around, and I see the finish line. I'm going, great. So I start striding. I start acting like I'm really in shape. I sucked in my gut. My chest is out, and I'm doing this, you know, because it's the finish line. You want to finish good. And this girl comes running from the finish line. She said, are you running the whole or the half? I said, the half. She goes, you have to go down to the railroad tracks and back. I said, you did not say go to the railroad tracks and back. I literally said that. She goes, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's the distance. And I went, it was another half mile down there, another half mile back. I was off by a whole mile, which makes sense because usually I die much earlier and I wasn't dead yet. So, physically I knew there was something wrong there, okay? But it felt so deceptive. But, you know, that's just logistics. It's not a finish line that has been changed. And it's always been the same, and we understand that. You know, one day we need to stop and realize that the sun, the real live sun, the sun that came up this morning, you know what? It doesn't revolve around us. If you haven't learned that in science yet, you need to. Because what we have to realize is that we revolve around it. And when it comes to the Son of God, we think that he revolves around us. That his job is to come and take care of us and cater us. And it's his job to create this closeness instead of this distance. And guess what? We're the mobile object. We're the thing that's moving. And we need to get out of that rut because you know what? God's not going to come to us because you know what? He's already come to us. He left heaven and came to earth, lived among us, went to the cross for us, died for us so that we wouldn't have this distance. So if we're having distance, and I'm not trying to beat anybody over the head, I'm just telling you, it's because we have created that distance and not God. It's amazing. We want God to bring the Bible to us. God, come on, I need a little inspiration, so bring this thing to me. And so we take the Bible from wherever it is, and we bring it to the person who really is full of sin and needs it the most. That's just the way it goes, okay? Hey, how many of you really want an altar experience? I mean, you really want God to just pour his heart on you. So you want the altar. So we have to bring the altar to you. Sir, in the overalls, the guy behind you really needs this. So you're just going to bring it to him. And this is the way we do it. I promise you, don't get mad at me, or mad at me if you want to, but today, at the end of this service, some of you know, good well, you need to be in the altar, but you're going to sit right back there. And all it is, it's not a matter of physical ability or inability. There's not anything prohibiting you from going. It's just you're not going. Comfort and pride are going to keep you right where you are. I'm sorry, but he really does need this. And I got to bring it back to the front. Glad I didn't have to run with this yesterday. That would have been a short run. So now that you've all eliminated me from being any kind of credibility, let me just tell you, A.W. Tozer, famous pastor, he said this, every man is as close to God as he wants to be. We're waiting for God to close the gap. God is waiting for us to make the move. Here's the fifth symptom of all that, or the thing I want to tell you about this long run. It's all about the finish. It's all about the finish. Who cares if you run? Who cares how far you run? But if you stop close, I mean short of the finish, you haven't done what you needed to do. The finish is where the goal is. That's where we're supposed to be going. That's where the reward is. That's where when you cross that thing, they say, well done. Yesterday I crossed in 2 hours and 34 minutes, and there were about five people there. They were kind of going, we got to go home. Will you please finish? Come on. But they clapped, and they cheered. And I said, thank you. They said, you're doing so good. I said, you better go to church. It's one of the biggest lies I've heard today. I did not look good. I was not feeling good. I often tell policemen when I run through or when I run, I say, don't call anybody. I always look this bad. It's a lot of fun when you cross the finish line. But that's where it is. And it's not coming to us. We have to go to it. And that's where you hear wonderful things. So what do we do? Listen, this is so complicated, you're probably going to miss it. So just get ready, okay? This is absolutely so complicated, and it's only two things. So everybody count to say one, two. And I'm sorry I'm acting this way today, but it is the anointing. This is so complicated, but I promise you can do it. Number one is simply this. You need to seek Him. You just need to seek Him. And it just goes right over our head too often. Let me share a verse of Scripture with you. Hebrews 11:6 says, he who comes to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Let me tell you what diligently means. I have lost something. I've got to have it. I'm not going anywhere until I get it. And I look and I look and I look. If you need the keys to your car before you can exit your house and go somewhere, you will find those keys because you ain't walking. And you know that's what you got to have. You will look and you will look and you will look. You'll drive yourself crazy. You'll drive your spouse crazy. You'll drive everybody crazy because you diligently have sought those things. God is a rewarder of those who will do that. Does that sound like we're sitting back just complaining about the distance? Does that sound like we're just sitting back going, God, where are you, like David said? How long are you going to leave me like this? No, it means we're doing something about it. And in 1 Chronicles 28:9, it says this, the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent and the thoughts. If you seek Him, He will be found by you. Now listen, the Bible is very clear. There are some things that are not up for debate. This is a statement. It is not a guess. It is not an assumption. It is a statement. If you seek Him, He will be found by you. That's what we need to do. The second thing is this. Everybody say number two. You just need to move. You need to move. Listen, I understand sometimes the things that we feel, the things that we go through, the circumstances, they're not just feelings that we have. They're reinforced by an awful lot of things. You look at the checkbook. And you go, well, how could you? Is God blessing me? Are you kidding me? Look at this. You look at your health. You look at circumstances. You look at our economy. You look at our world. Aren't you glad that you're not living in the south part of Israel right now, trying to dodge rockets coming randomly out of nowhere? Aren't you glad, blah, 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 on down the road? We have a lot of things that not only reinforce and support, but clarify and remind us that we feel this horrible distance, if not this separation from God. But we have got to move because God has already made His move. He's just waiting for us. We got to make the first move, take the first step, break the ice. We have got to make contact. Hebrews 4:16 says this, let us therefore come boldly, come, not wait, not sit back, but come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in what? Time of need. Now listen, I know sometimes our need is financial. Sometimes our need is physical. Sometimes our need is so just common that you can see it, you can describe it, you can point right to it. But then these feelings, how do you describe that? Let me tell you what, that is a need as well, and sometimes a bigger need than anything else. Some of you in your marriages, you've understood that it's not about proximity because you're laying right there by your spouse of years, but yet you might as well be miles and miles and miles away because there's this big gap between you. There's this indifference. There's this feeling. And whether it's anger-driven or whether it's a circumstance or a situation, I don't care what it is, you feel that, and you know what? You're right there together, but you're worlds apart. Could it be that God could be right here with us, literally sitting right next to you, but yet you feel worlds apart? How could that be, Pastor? Because it's not about physical positioning. It's about spiritual alignment. That we align our hearts and our spirits with Him. But if you're going to do that, you've got to move. And it may seem like just a few feet, but it's much more than that. Because the closer you get to God, isn't it amazing how the doubts and the thoughts of abandonment begin to vanish? The closer you get to God, the more confident you begin to feel that He really is there and He's really the God that He said He would be. The closer you get, the feelings, those horrible, horrible, crippling feelings begin to diminish. You begin to feel His presence. It's like moving from cold to hot. The youth had a bonfire. Actually, they had a towering inferno the other night. I saw pictures of this thing. It's no wonder that planes were trying to land over there so bright. But you know what? Out of the cold of last night, the more they began to walk to the fire, the warmer it got and the warmer it got, to the point that if they got any closer, they would literally be burned. But sometimes we have just decided, well, I'd just rather be in the cold. I don't know if the coldness has become your crutch or your excuse or a convenient reason. I don't know. But God says, listen, that's not where I want you to be. That's not where I provided for you to be through the blood of my Son, Jesus Christ. So if you stay there, it's because it's what you want to do. And you know what? The closer you get to Him, you know what the feelings of discontent and dissonance are replaced by? Assurance. We are assured that this is who He is and what He's doing and where He's taking us. So I'm going to ask that you just bow your heads and close your eyes for just a few moments. In just a moment, I am going to give you the opportunity to come to these altars, whether you stand and kneel, to just ask the Lord to do whatever He needs to do in your heart and your life, to take care of those distant feelings, but He's waiting for you to make the move. Jesus left heaven, and He came to us. And constantly throughout the New Testament, as you read His words, He's constantly saying, come unto me. Come unto me. You see, all it takes for us is to realize now's the time to go. It's our opportunity to close the gap. We need to eliminate the feelings of distance between us and our God. But the minute I turn the corner on this conversation back to the decision that you need or want to or should make, you're going to be slapped right in the face with two things. I've already talked to you about them. One is comfort and the other is pride. And I hope that neither one of those will become obstacles. I hope you overcome both of them. And you see, I understand that God can do an awful lot in your pews. And if God doesn't call you to this altar, that's fine. But God forbid that God call you to this altar and you decide that it would just be better for you to stay right there. I'm going to promise you, God's going to be pretty disappointed. My granddaughter's in service today. I assume she's back there somewhere. I hadn't heard her yet. But I got to tell you, whenever I see her, I put my arms out and just say, come on. And she doesn't come, breaks my heart. And most of the time, it's just funniness, just indifference. It's not that she's rejecting me, but that's not the way it feels. I want my granddaughter not to walk. I don't want her to smile. I want her to run to me. I want to be able to grab her with my arms, lift her up, and just hold her in my arms. I can promise you the distance you're feeling today, great or small, God wants to eliminate it. And just like the picture I've already shown you, His arms are already wide open. He's waiting for you to make the move. Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, I'm not asking for hands to be raised. I'm not asking for questions to be asked. And I certainly don't have the answers. You have the answers. But I pray today, Father, if we feel that distance, we'll eliminate it at the end of this prayer. when I say amen, that we'll be bold enough, courageous enough to act on what we're feeling. If it's been a long time since we felt your presence in our life, I pray that we'll come to a place called the altar and that we will just give you our request. We'll appeal to you. I pray that if there's something that's hurt us, wounded us so deeply, that we don't feel like God loves us and cares for us. Maybe we feel like we've done something so bad that God can't ever like us again. Well, Father, I pray that you will eliminate that today by helping us to just seek you. Come to that throne of grace that you talked about in Hebrews, where we will obtain mercy and find grace. Because anytime we're not right close to you, right next to you, if we're not being held in your arms, so to speak, then we are in need. I pray that for this entire congregation, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now it's up to you. It's your move. Your move. The ball's in your court. The decision is in your hands. What you do is up to you. It's 10 minutes before 12. And if the clock is an issue for you, you have time. But it's your move. I invite any of you that want to, and all of you that will, to just come join me at this altar. I'm not going to invade your space. I'm not going to interview you. I'm not going to come and ask you, why did you move? But I'm just going to give you that opportunity. Because the invitation is for you to connect with God and eliminate and close the gap between you and him. It's not to come and be entertained or interviewed by this pastor.